Chapter 30. A Wandering Voice. Apostrophe, apostrophe, though sheer and intelligible griefs are not charmed away by being confided to mere acquaintances, the process is a palliative to certain ill humors. Among these, perplexed vexation is one, a species of trouble which, like a stream, gets shallower by the simple operation of widening it in any quarter. On the evening of the day succeeding that of the meeting in the park, Elfride and Mrs. Swankert were engaged in conversation in the dressing room of the latter. Such a treatment of such a case was in course of adoption here. Elfride had just before received an affectionate letter from Stephen Smith in Bombay, which had been forwarded to her from Mandelstow. But since this is not the case referred to, it is not worth while to pry further into the contents of the letter than to discover that, with rash though pardonable confidence in coming times, he addressed her in high spirits as his darling future wife. Probably there cannot be instanced a briefer and surer rule of thumb test of a man's temperament, sanguine or cautious, than this. Did he or does he antedate the word wife in corresponding with a sweetheart he honestly loves? As he had taken this epistle into her own room, read a little of it, then saved the rest for tomorrow, not wishing to be so extravagant as to consume the pleasure all at once. Nevertheless, she could not resist the wish to enjoy yet a little more, so out came the letter again, and in spite of misgivings as to prodigality, the whole was devoured. The letter was finally reperused and placed in her pocket. What was this? Also a newspaper for Elfride, which as he had overlooked in her hurry to open the letter. It was the old number of The Present, containing the article upon her book, forwarded as had been requested. Elfride had hastily read it through, shrunk perceptibly smaller, and had then gone with the paper in her hand to Mrs. Swankert's dressing room, to lighten her at least, modify her vexation by a discriminating estimate from her stepmother. She was now looking disconsolately out of the window. "Never mind, my child," apostrophe said Mrs. Swankert after a careful perusal of the matter indicated. "I don't see that the review is such a terrible one, after all. Besides, everybody has forgotten about it by this time. I'm sure the opening is good enough for any book ever written. Just listen, it sounds better read aloud than when you pore over it silently: The Court of Kellion Castle, a romance of the Middle Ages, by Ernest Field. In the belief that we were for a while escaping the monotonous repetition of wearisome details in modern social scenery, analyses of an interesting character, or the unnatural unfoldings of a sensation plot, we took this volume into our hands with a feeling of pleasure. We were disposed to beguile ourselves with the fancy that some new change might possibly be rung upon dungeon keeps, chain and plate armor, deeply scarred cheeks, tender maidens disguised as pages, to which we had not listened long ago. Now, that's a very good beginning, in my opinion, and one to be proud of having brought out of a man who has never seen you. Apostrophe, apostrophe, ah, yes, apostrophe, murmured Elfride woefully. But then, see further on. Apostrophe, well, the next bit is rather unkind, I must own, apostrophe said Mrs. Swankert, and read on. Instead of this, we found ourselves in the hands of some young lady, hardly arrived at the years of discretion, to judge by the silly device it has been thought worth while to adopt on the title page, with the idea of disguising her sex. Apostrophe, apostrophe, I am not illy. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Elfride indignantly. He might have called me anything but that. Apostrophe, apostrophe, you are not, indeed. Well, hands of a young lady, who's... Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.